connect on some of those points, and together we're going to have a very meaningful time here. Well, I want to begin by reading the first section of Ephesians 1:1-14, and here's how it goes. And this is from the New Living Translation, which is the translation that we customarily use, although there are at least two editions of the New Living Translation. I'm reading from the latest one, I think. But if you have a Bible, you follow it. It's not going to be that different. And so you don't have to worry about trying to follow the text on the screen behind me. Just focus on listening. If you have your Bible, open up and follow. And if not, we'll just see if God can get your attention, even in the reading of the Word. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with His kindness upon us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify Him. Well, the title of our series, as Kevin already introduced, is No Limits. And I resonate with the idea of most of us males, at least, have fantasized at some time about driving down a superhighway where there's no limits on the speed. I don't know if there is any such highway. Some people say the Autobahn is that. Well, I have driven the Autobahn, and the section of the Autobahn I drove, it had an upper limit and a lower limit. You had to, you couldn't drop below a limit, but you had to. But there might be some sections that have, but the section I rode had a speed limit, and of course it was a complete non-event because my compact rental really could hardly attain the posted speed limit, let alone exceed it. But the book of Ephesians presents us with a picture of life lived in union with Christ where there are no limits on the benefits and blessings that come to us from this relationship with Christ. And so that is a powerfully inspiring thought. And it has the power to move us. And I love the idea. Put me in the story. Absolutely. Let's get into this story. It has the ability to change us. I like what Dr. David Avert says in his commentary. He quotes David Avert, one of the Mennonite Brethren theologians and instructors taught at the college and at our seminary, and was just a patriarch in the midst, has written numerous books, and he wrote, has a commentary on Ephesians, which Kevin kindly loaned to me, and I benefited from that, and I'm going to make sure I pass that on to Wayne so that he can quote Dr. Avert, because we're really going to impress our denominational executives if we can say, you know, we were quoting our own theologians in our sermons here at Coast Hills. Well, David Avert says that when he was that he quotes Dr. John McKay. Dr. John McKay was a former missionary to South America and then later the president of Princeton Theological Seminary. That's a very elite school. Princeton Theological Seminary. And here's what Dr. McKay said about the book of Ephesians. He says, I can never forget that the reading of this Pauline epistle when I was a boy in my teens. So this is for young people. When I was a boy in my teens, the book of Ephesians exercised more decisive influence on my thoughts and imagination than was ever wrought upon me before or since by any piece of literature. Now that's quite a testimony, isn't it? Isn't that just a powerful testimony? And here's my prayer. Let it be our prayer that as we study this together, that we will have our testimony and say, wow, this is changing me. And that's why I encourage very much what Kevin was saying. Now, let's do a parallel personal study. We will produce study guides for the home groups to follow and so that you can dialogue and pick up ideas. And if you're not in a life group, we encourage you to register one. You can talk to Wayne, talk to me, put it on the connection card, look in the program for the list of, if you know one of the leaders there, join, do your own research there and get connected. But by all means, and then we will increase the benefit that we have. The beginning of the year provides a natural and a logical time for us to recommit to the goal of moving forward in life. And I usually take some time at this on New Year's Eve or on New Year's Day to kind of write down some goals. And since I was busy reviewing my notes. I wasn't writing too many notes, but reviewing my notes for this sermon. I didn't do it yesterday, but I plan to have some time this afternoon just to think about, you know, some specific things. And there is something about writing them down that makes it more powerful. But it's a great time. So let's, I'm sure all of us want this to be a good year for us. Well, based on what I've read to you from the book of Ephesians, we can be very optimistic and confident about having a good year. And with that in mind, we want to release that optimism and confidence by answering four questions. And so this is not quite as linear as my mind usually works, but that's why. But since we don't have an outline posted on behind me, I've got more liberty, and I'm quite excited to be free from worrying about what's going to go on the screen behind me, so I can just go rambling all over the place. But I'll try to keep it within the boundaries of what is acceptable. The first question, you know, all the questions I have are about blessing and being blessed. Because that's what our title is, You Are Blessed. Oh, here I'm going to do something I learned from Kevin. Kevin preached here a couple weeks ago, and what he did, he had to say something to the person beside him. You remember saying, you are beautiful? Yeah, he did said that, and I want to be cruel like Kevin. And so I'm going to have you not say that, but I want you to say to the person beside you, and have that person beside you say to you, you are blessed. Okay, just say it, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Okay, you are blessed. That's my title. And so I'm going to, so the first question that comes to my mind, what does it mean when you say that you are blessed? What do you mean you are blessed? Well, the text in this that I read, is the word blessed is used in two ways. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we bless God. When we bless God, we praise Him, we eulogize Him, and that's the Greek word, eulogia, is used here, to eulogize God. And so blessing God is saying praise to Him. But when God blesses us, it has a slightly different meaning. When God blesses us, it means that He releases gifts to us. He gives us gifts. He gives us favor. He gives us honor. He gives us well-being. And so when we say that you are blessed, we're saying you are honored. You have favor. You are in the state of well-being. That's what it means to be blessed. And so Paul says, you are blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. We are in possession of every spiritual blessing. That is a profoundly inspiring thought. And as I've been meditating on preparing for this sermon, that's the truth that has captured my attention, that we are blessed. And then when Paul thinks of us being blessed, then he launches out into this long sentence. Verses 3 to 14 is one sentence in the Greek. It's like he starts a snowball at the top of the hill, and he just lets it roll. And more mass is added to this his sentence. It just keeps adding. And he even repeats himself and goes back. And so it's not intended necessarily to be an explanation as so much as a reminder, where he just throws out, he does a wonderful overview of salvation, of what it means to be united with Christ. And he uses words like being chosen, adopted, forgiven, redeemed, filled with the Spirit. Now, each one of those could be a sermon series or a sermon topic, but I'm just going to touch a little bit on a few of those concepts. But being chosen, here we come into a somewhat difficult theological area of election, that God chose, He elected some people, or predestination, and it is a problematic concept. But here again I want to quote Dr. David Avert, how he said he was helped by this, by reading a sermon by Dr. Harry Ironside. I'm sure you all know Dr. Harry Ironside. Well, he was a pastor at Moody Memorial Church in the first part of the 20th century. He retired from the church in 1948. But anyway, so Harry Ironside had this illustration of being chosen. He said, imagine humanity walking down the broad path toward destruction. And they come and they see a gate on the side which says, come unto me all you who labor and are weary. And some of the people going by that gate see that gate, and they say, that means me. I'm going to go in that gate. And they respond to the words of Jesus, and they go in the gate. Once they're in the gate, they look back at the gate. On the other side of the gate, it says, chosen before the foundation of the world. And I like that emphasis of election, that all those who choose to follow Jesus are chosen. No one can say, I'm not following Jesus because I wasn't chosen. Because the invitation is to everyone. Come and follow, believe. Whosoever will may come, is what the scripture repeats. Well, that's the chosen part. That God chose us before the foundation of a profound thought. We're adopted into His family. You know, adoption means that He wanted us. He wanted us. Parents who adopt children, they want children. Those of us who are born in natural birth to our parents and were raised there can never be completely sure whether our parents really wanted us. Especially, I was thinking about my family. As siblings, we often joke about it. Because my mother she gave birth to 12 children in the span of 16 years. Well, you can imagine when she nudged her husband and said, Jake, guess what? I'm pregnant again. I don't think it was always a happy moment. Maybe I maybe got in on the lucky part of it. I was number five. Five might have been okay, but after that, oh no, not again. But adopted children can say, my parents wanted me. God wanted us. And he adopted us into a family because his desire to have us be in relationships. So the idea of being adopted into God's family should warm our hearts. Then it says that we are forgiven. And who of us hasn't been in the position of having made a mistake and a relationship is broken, and the only way, and you can't go back and do it over again. And the only way forward is through forgiveness. And then to be forgiven. We've experienced it, those of us who are married. You know, in the former, earlier years, we used to have fights once in a while, my wife and I. We're now married 44 years, so what's the use of fighting? We know we're going to make up anyway, so we kind of, basically, we decide to skip the fight. Well, once in a while, we have little ones, but no, the passion certainly has gone from our fighting. So you have that to look forward to. You hang in there long enough, and you'll get there. But there were those moments when, you know, you realize the only way we can get over this is forgiving. But it's really hard to forgive. You know, I can't make her to forgive, and she can make me forgive. You both feel sinned against. It's kind of, you can kind of easily end up in a stalemate, but really it is just a forgiveness. Anyway, God forgives us. What a relief it is, though, when you make up, right? And you know that there's forgiveness. And so we're forgiven. We're united with Christ. We're redeemed. He purchased us with his blood. And we have that picture here in communion. And we're gonna celebrate all these gifts that we have in communion today. And what a great privilege it is to do that. So we have all these spiritual blessings. And it emphasized spiritual blessings. They originate from God in heaven. And so I should say a word about what if there's somebody saying, well, okay, spiritual blessings are a little abstract. And they're kind of non-quantifiable and they're invisible. And how about material blessings? That's what I can kind of get my mind around. Well, as Kevin mentioned, in Ephesus, the people were profoundly spiritual. They were into witchcraft, the occult, into magic. And they tried to channel this hostile evil power to their own advantage. And so when Paul starts talking about spiritual blessings, they were onto that. They knew spiritual power. They did not question that. They say, yes, positive, loving, kind spiritual blessings, we want that. We've been trying to do that. We've been trying to manipulate the evil forces to get that. And you're going to give it to us in a legitimate a way with no limits attached? Wow, that is good. Material blessings are temporal. Spiritual blessings are eternal. In the Old Covenant, if you're big on material blessing, unfortunately, you're born in the wrong era. You should have been born under the Old Covenant with the Israelites as they were walking. There, the emphasis was on material blessing. Their walking with God resulted in wealth and land and no sickness and all that. That was part of the Old Covenant. But in the New Testament, where we live, the emphasis is more on the spiritual blessings. God does promise us to meet our daily bread, to provide for our physical needs. But then beyond that, Jesus said, in this life you will have difficulty. And so we don't walk with the idea that if we really walk for God, we're going to avoid the normal problems of life. No, we won't. But we'll have this tremendous empowerment of knowing that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. God's blessing is on us. These gifts have been given to us, and that empowers us to answer the next question. How does God feel about us? And see, this is a question that's already been answered, really. And the book of, maybe that is the most powerful thing in the book of Ephesians, because it helps us to understand how much God loves us. People who have a negative view of God, or who feel that God disapproves of them, and that God is disappointed in them, and that God is withholding blessing from them, people who feel that way will not have a happy spiritual life. And in fact, it affects all of life. If you walk with this kind of bit of a cloud of worry and anxiety about your relationship with God, wondering if you're good enough to get God's blessing. No, what we have here is absolutely powerful, that God's blessing is there for us. And the grace principle comes through so powerfully. It doesn't say that maybe in the future God will release his spiritual blessing to you with no limits. No, it says it's already happened. We have them. They're there for us to enjoy right now. All these blessings have been given. It doesn't say that these blessings will come to you if you meet certain conditions. There are no qualifiers. It doesn't say you'll have these blessings will be given to you if you're a really good Christian, if you have a dynamic prayer life, if you do your devotions every day, if you go to church regularly. No conditions attached. If you never make a big mistake, doesn't say that. It's an amazing thing that it says these blessings are given to absolutely everyone that's connected with Christ. Every believer has these blessings in full measure, regardless of how pathetic your performance may be. Full blessing. That's grace. See, we're so conditioned to think that we'll get what we deserve. Now, in much of life, it works that way. See, in marriage, if you work at your marriage, you tend to get, the law of average is you get what you deserve in a marriage. If you work at it and are kind and loving, it will improve your marriage. In the business world, if you're diligent and you work hard, you're going to get ahead. So, but we transfer this earning our rewards to the relationship with God, but it doesn't hold true there. Because God gives it to us in grace, we don't earn it. I have to tell you about an article I read in the Vancouver Sun. Maybe you read it as well. On Christmas Eve, December 24 this year, an article by Canadian journalist David Frum. David Frum is a very famous guy who was the son of Barbara Frum, the broadcaster extraordinaire who had a CBC broadcast for many years. David, Barbara's son David, has a doctorate in law from Harvard University, and he is on his resume includes the fact that he was one of the speechwriters for George W. Bush. And he is credited with inventing the phrase, the axis of evil. Remember that phrase that became a very much quoted phrase about the axis of evil? Anyway, so here's this guy has this article, Vancouver Sun, and the title of the article was The Real Christmas War. The Real Christmas War, Jesus versus Santa. And he writes that there is a war within Christmas between two religions. One, there is the religion of Jesus that emphasizes universal grace and forgiveness. I'm quoting him, okay? That's religion one, Jesus, grace and forgiveness. Then he says there is the religion of Santa Claus with a much sterner creed. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty or nice. You see, that's the religion of Santa Claus. Santa brings good gifts to good people, withholds them from the bad. Jesus brings good gifts to all. And of course, we all have been bad. That's grace. That's grace. For a guy with a Jewish background, I think Fromm has it pretty well figured out. And we can just celebrate the fact that we have and we want to follow the religion of Jesus. Well, church leaders and pastors have often hesitated to declare the message of grace because it robs us of power. You see, I'm telling you here today that you're going to walk in blessing. If you don't come to church ever again, the blessing is going to be with you. Not coming to church isn't going to rob you of God's blessing. Not tithing, not stopping at the donation booth isn't going to stop those blessings. Not reading your Bible isn't going to stop those blessings. The blessings are there. You know, but these good practices help us to appreciate those blessings more and to enjoy them more. And it will help us to feel enriched. So anyway, so this the book of Ephesians, if there's one message we need to receive, it's the message that we are blessed. Undeserving. That's the grace message. So we're free, this wonderful freedom. Free to receive and enjoy God's blessings. And nobody can power play us and say, if you don't do that, God's going to turn the tap off. No. And so many people walk with this idea. They make a mistake and they think God's going to withhold their blessing. That's not the picture of God from the Ephesians. The blessings are there. Often we turn away and don't receive those blessings. So as we walk, let's enjoy those blessings. So the next question I have for you is, how do people that embrace the truth that they are spiritually blessed with every spiritual blessing, and they realize it, and they embrace it, how do people like that think and behave? So I invite you to visualize a person that's profoundly blessed, and you can just see that they feel blessed. What's that person like? What do they think like? What kind of message do they give? Well, I think a person that feels profoundly blessed by God, number one, will respond in gratitude and love to God and want to nurture that relationship. That would be a normal response. To give back to God and thank God, bless Him for blessing us. But then in life, a person that feels blessed, I think will be peace-filled. There's a tranquility that comes from knowing that the blessing of God is upon you. An inner peace, a joy, a confidence, an optimism to go forward. And maybe even as we go through life with this confidence, there might even be a slight swagger in our stride. Not an arrogant swagger, but just a swagger that comes from knowing that nothing can stop the blessing on my life. And so we move forward with this tremendous sense of encouragement and joy. So how does this impact our expectation for the new year? Well, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. Uncertainty at every level. We don't know what's going to happen to our health. We don't know what's going to happen to our relationships. We don't know what's going to happen to our children, our family, our finances, our country, our freedoms. No wonder anxiety disorders are in such a sharp rise. It seems to be a lot of people young people deal with anxiety disorders because there's a lot to worry about. But I think the biggest bulwark against anxiety and worry is to walk in the blessing of God and to realize that God's sovereignty is there and the blessing of God is no matter what happens. You know, the guy writing this, did you mention it, Kevin, that this book was written by Paul when he's in jail? You read what he wrote when he was in jail. It's amazing. This is not for people whose life everything is going fine for them. Things were going awful for him. He didn't know if he'd ever get out of jail. And he hardly mentions it in the book. Makes two quick references to it. He doesn't go do any sympathy pitch. He doesn't deserve. He just is confident about the future because he has all these spiritual blessings. So this, if life is hard for you, these blessings work for you. They work for all of us. God wants us to have this confidence, this peace, this radiance, this buoyancy, this empowerment that comes from experiencing the blessing of God. You are blessed. I am blessed. We're all blessed. That's what we're celebrating when we go to communion. And Wayne's going to lead us in that.
That was great. I don't know, I almost feel like, thanks Ben for coming up, I almost feel like that's a spa treatment. I was a little uncomfortable with it, but it was great going into a spa one time. My wife talked me into it, and you just lay there and relax, and you're just like blessed, you're just treated. And that's kind of what this message is about, and it's right out of Ephesians. Like, God's just blessing you. And that's powerful. I'm going to just read this verse, and then we're going to go into communion because it just says it all right there. You know what? We'll just go to communion. Just lead us in worship, and I want to invite you to stand together and sing communion together. Let's stand, and Kevin's going to take care of the servers. I'll read this later. So these verses in Ephesians really sum it up. It really says all that there is really to say about communion. It says, "So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave us our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So we take this, it's pure grace. It's pure radical grace given to us freely for our forgiveness, for our freedom. So let's take the body and remember that. We remember the purchase that he made for us through his blood on the cross. God, we just want to thank you for this incredible message. How it transforms our lives. How it does give us reason. And Lord, I just want to thank you for what it cost you. We recognize that it cost you everything, so that we could live a life of blessing. I thank you for the freedom. I thank you for the hope. I thank you for the just the meaning that it brings to life. And Lord, as we look at this next year, Lord, we want to just live in that. We want to we want the grace to flow through our lives and to others. And we want that too. We thank you that all that we do is really just a response to this kind of grace, to this kind of freedom, to this kind of love. And we want to live in that this year. I thank you for the reminder that we have from the book of Ephesians this morning. In your name, amen. Right. Something that we do as well is have an opportunity to give to the Community Care Fund. And Kevin and the ushers will be passing that down. And that's an opportunity to make a connection from our hearts, from what we've been given, to the life of others too. So we invite you to that. And look forward to seeing you again next week. Have a great start to the year, school students, and all the rest of us as we jump back into things. Have a very good day. May your week be blessed.
You are the everlasting God, the have a great week.